Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
I just saw this post from Scott on our Facebook page. Do you think the guy at Walmart got you confused with Jennifer Lawrence? Well, I don't think we look alike, but people have told me in the past that I resemble Cameron Diaz. So I don't see it, but that's what people have said to me. Actually, in other countries, I've gotten that, believe it or not. And so maybe he had me confused with Cam. Or maybe he had me confused with Kaylee Cuoco, the Big Bang Theory. Other people have told me I look like her. Again, I do not see it. I don't look in the mirror and think, oh, yeah, famous actress, supermodel.
I see the Cameron Diaz.
You do?
I could see. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, that's cool. So Anthony then posts on Facebook, ask the guy in the store that thinks you have all the money if you can borrow some cash. People always leave you alone after that.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Maybe I'll try those tactics moving forward if I get accosted by this dude again.
Go to another store. That's my.
Well, store. I know, but this is my store and this is my routine. I'm not going to be chased away by some dude who thinks he runs the internet. For heaven's sakes. What are you, Al Gore? Knock it off. So I will just have to avoid him. He's in a scooter, for heaven's sakes. How fast can he possibly go?
I don't know. That scooters, they move fast.
It's just funny that the lady at the door, the greeter, she's also the one who says goodbye to you. So she says hello. She says goodbye. She whispered to me, go, go, go. Just get out of here quick. That was really funny.
I'm sure they love that guy's talking to all the customers at the door.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much. I mean, I don't want to describe it as him accosting me, really, because that wasn't what it was. But that the annoyance of this guy deciding that he knew what I was doing in my life, that was nothing compared to the joy of having the grocery shopping done. So I can deal. But also Tuesday was special, as I just mentioned last hour. 9-month anniversary. I know many of you are celebrating 9 years or 19 years or 29 years or 39 years. And I will get there. But 9 months, pretty sweet milestone for Bob and I. And as I did mention to Marco, even though he turned his nose up at it, he's never had coconut cupcakes with white chocolate and raspberry and chocolate ganache filling and buttercream frosting. He's never had those delectable cupcakes that were made specifically for our wedding, but we did pull two out of the freezer. We let them sit for 4 hours. And the buttercream frosting was as delicious as it was on the day of our wedding. So that is something we look forward to. We only have two left, Pete. But Bob wants to fly my best friend up to New Jersey so we can make some more for year number two.
You should get the recipe.
I made the recipe with her. So in October of last year, I flew to Atlanta. We spent an entire weekend in the kitchen. I think I ate a dozen cupcakes. We were taste testing. We were trying different versions. And what we came up with, because we had to try all the different ways. Do we want vanilla cupcake with raspberry? Vanilla cupcake with raspberry white chocolate? Do we want coconut cupcake? What kind of frosting do we want? So we had to try all the different iterations. Do we want the chocolate ganache? Do we not? And so there were a lot of different ways that we needed to taste test. And this is what we came up with. But yeah, the coconut was really the part that surprised us. We weren't sure that we wanted coconut cupcake on top of everything else. But yeah, it was white chocolate raspberry and a coconut cupcake with chocolate ganache filling and the buttercream frosting. And then the night before the wedding, we decorated the cupcakes with little purple balls or little purple bows because purple was our primary color. And so we have two left, but that's what we've looked forward to at every quarter pole, if you will. So that was sweet. And also, for those of you who know that I have a blog, it was late yesterday afternoon. Bob had gone to, get this, this is what we did for our 9-month anniversary. Bob finished his test. So you have to take a course and pass a test to earn a boater's license in New Jersey. And he loves to fish, and I love being on a boat. And so we want to, before the summer is done or before the nice weather is over, we want to go out on a boat, rent one in western New Jersey. We don't have one because, you know, I shop at Walmart. We are going to go out at a lake in western New Jersey. He's going to fish. I'm going to hang out with a book, and we're going to enjoy an afternoon. But he had to go through the process of getting a license. So the man did this for me because I desperately want to go out and get on a boat. And so he can fish. Fishing was our first date. So that's significant.
That's a very nice first date.
Yeah, it was awesome. He was blown away when I said, let's go fishing, because I knew he loved to fish and it'd been a long time. So we want to celebrate our first year at some point by getting out and going fishing. So while he was off taking the test for the poor guy to get his boater's license, I was finishing my blog post and I'd been working on it for a while. I know I've told people it was coming out. It's actually the first and will be the only time that I share any wedding photos. So it's on my blog. It took 9 months. There's a special theme to the blog, though. It's not just, hey, here are my wedding photos. There's a reason why I wrote it the way that I did. Really special. My mom read it and said it was sweet. So once it passes mom's seal of approval. I haven't even shared the link yet on either of my social media sites. But if you go to either Twix or Facebook, the address for my blog is there on the main page. If you want to check it out, I know a bunch of you follow my blog, which is really kind of you. And so those of you who've been asking for years, it feels like years in some cases. For those of you who've been asking for now 9 months to see photos of me in my wedding dress, well, they are on my blog. And at some point on Wednesday, I will share the actual link to the blog. But if you've read it before, well, you know where it is. And yeah, it's a little bit scary. I'm a little nervous, Pete, because I don't know. It was such a special day. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you share with people, they can be unkind. Not that I care because it was a perfect day for me, but I don't know. You put it out there and first of all, you have people who think you're doing it just for attention, which is not the case. And second of all, you have people who will be critical regardless of what kind of a day it was. You know how it is. Yep. I mean, just people are pretty brutal and vicious on the internet. And so I'm not really worried about what people think of me because I was happy with the whole thing and the dress was perfect. But just sharing this kind of really personal part of my life, again, for the one and only time that this will happen, it was kind of a big thing for me. So when I pressed publish on the blog, I thought, all right, deep breaths.
Yeah, it can get when you share something like that, like even like if it's just pictures or just like a random picture, if mm-hmm. you share something like that and it means a lot to you, you don't want to see the criticism. But for me, like, right, one ear out the other. A long time ago.
Yeah, no, it's not that. It can't ruin anything for me. It's just, it's really personal.
Right.
And I am fairly closely guarded about a lot of personal parts of my life. I do choose to share about my Grammy Helen, and she's actually featured in this blog, or my dog, or in some cases, family. And yes, I did share some of the details about the wedding planning and some of the details about the wedding because so many people have asked, but it's a completely different thing to share a photo, you know, of me right before I walked down the aisle. So this was a little bit, I wouldn't say it was scary, but just it felt like a big step.
Nerves. Well, yeah. It gives you nerves for sure.
So people have been asking, some of you have still continued asking, which I appreciate your interest. And now they're out there, a few of them anyway, and they're special to me. And I'm glad that I can finally share them. It took a while until I was ready, but I could finally share them. And so
I'm looking forward to reading it.
Are you?
Yes,
thank you.
I am.
And so that's what I did mostly on Tuesday as a break from football. But yeah, lots of football to get to. As Marco mentioned in his update, Tua does end up on IR. And while this is not a big surprise in any way, it's sad, obviously, that he has to go through this again, even as they're waiting on neurologists and testing, and as they're waiting on some type of I don't want to say diagnosis because he has the concussion, but some type of a consensus with the doctors about the cumulative effect of what is now a fourth diagnosed concussion and potentially five if you count the one that they also think was a head injury going back to early 22. So we know from the science that the more concussions you have, the more the effects can be compounded and can become worse, especially later on in life. And so that, while he may not be able to get the answers that he wants, he's going to listen to the evidence, the opinions, the recommendations of the doctors. But it's not just him who has to listen. It's also the Dolphins who have to listen to this and at some point decide what they want to do. Now, here's the thing. They just spent a lot of money on him. And while not all of that is guaranteed, should he end up retiring with a medical issue or something along those lines, there's that aspect as well. You can't run a business without caring about that kind of money that you just committed to your quarterback, who's now, what, two games into this new contract, which is supposed to pay him $53.1 million per year. Money is secondary to his health. And I do believe Mike McDaniel, when he says that he cares more about his teammate, as he calls him, more about the person to the father to the husband to than he cares about the football. But yeah, that's still a concern is, if he chooses to retire, if he chooses to not play the rest of this year, or if he chooses to return, what impact does that have on their salary cap and that type of thing? So for the Dolphins now, they're going to wait. They're going to wait and see. He is on IR, which means he has to miss at least four games. And they did bring in Tyler Huntley, who's been kicking around the league for a while.
I do think that it helps the dynamics of the room and to give another guy with starting history to this team and gives another added addition of a guy that's a signal caller that a team can get behind.
I mean, the veteran presence always helps, especially when it's a guy who's been around the league a bunch and has been in a bunch of different systems. So there is that, but Skylar Thompson is the guy. And if you missed the conversation an hour ago with Seahawks insider Greg Bell, he's up there with the Tacoma News Tribune. He's kind of talking about from the Seahawks perspective, because they now take on the Dolphins in week number three. And that's how quickly things can change, right? In the blink of an eye. And with Tua, there was that risk. There was always going to be that risk. And I'm sad that it worked out that way. And I wish it had played out differently. The thing is, they have a bunch of weapons. So if Skylar Thompson can just get the football out to those weapons, they can certainly make plays for him. The Tua piece and the Tua connection with, say, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, who he, of course, was with in college, the ways that they've worked and developed that rhythm and the offensive line, and even though they've got some new guys on their own line, I mean, there's a lot there that will change with a Skylar Thompson. And so I'm sad for him mostly that he has to go through this again. I really hate it for him. He's been through a ton of injuries, right? It's not just about the concussions. I don't know if you remember at Alabama, he had a hip dislocation and a hip fracture as well. That was a really serious injury that he had to come back from. And if he decides he wants to retire from football, no one is going to begrudge him that. Maybe he doesn't make the same amount of money, but I still say that he's got good family around him and they'll help him make the smart decision. So, Skylar Thompson it is. And then Tyler Huntley, who's been with Baltimore, was on their practice squad, right? So there, yeah. So the, he's now with the Dolphins, coming off of the practice squad, but he's been in the league for a few years and not, hasn't played a ton of games, but has been in a couple of different systems. Think about it with the Ravens. Yeah, it's been John Harbaugh, but they've had two different offensive coordinators now over his time. And so there should be a boost there, at least, just in terms of what he's seen and what he can bring to the table as a veteran. So that's one quarterback update. Another coming from Pittsburgh. So we've been talking about Pittsburgh since the preseason. Who should start? Who's QB1? Is it Russell Wilson? Is it Justin Fields? And right at the point at which we finally got confirmation from Mike Tomlin that he was going with Russell Wilson, like literally 3 days before the season kicks off, after all the waiting and all of the guesswork and him not wanting to answer the question, he finally does, and then boom, calf injury rears its ugly head, which is a funny way to say it. And so, yeah, now you've got a Justin Fields that is taken over, and they're happy with what they've seen from him. However, they've had all of one touchdown, and here they go into week three.
As I sit here today, Russ is not scheduled to be a full participant in practice, and so we're ready in a plan that features Justin and his readiness. We'll follow Russ throughout the week. And if his participation gets to a level in participation and quality where we should consider him, we'll delve into that at that time. And what? Obviously, when that happens is a component of the consideration.
Okay. We have to start again. I don't think I was focused enough on all of that. One more time.
Take a breath.
Yeah. Well, just the excess words, and we know this is Mike Tomlin, and most of the time I think it's humorous, but goodness, he lost me there. Let's
As
try that
I sit
again.
Here today.
Today, okay.
Russ is not scheduled to be a full participant in practice.
All right, I gotcha.
So
not practicing.
We're ready in a plan that features Justin and his readiness.
His readiness.
We'll follow Russ throughout the week.
Gotcha.
And if his participation gets to a level in participation and quality where we should consider him, we'll delve into that at that time. And obviously,
like
when
it.
That happens is a component of the consideration.
That part at the end, I don't really understand what he's saying, but I followed him up until then. Russ, quality, participation. If it gets to the point where it's a consideration, we will delve into that as a part of the consideration.
When that happens is a component of the consideration. Where we should consider him, we'll delve into that at that time. And obviously, when that happens
obviously.
Is a component of the consideration. Participation gets to a level in participation and quality.
Obviously, we
when
should.
That happens is a component of the consideration.
Obviously. Thank you, Mike Tomlin. I mean, it's really us that are woefully inadequate when it comes to understanding what it is that you're saying. It's on us to figure it out. Hey, Ben Roethlisberger, remember him? He'll soon be a Hall of Famer. He's got his Footballin' podcast with Ben Roethlisberger, and he actually thinks that the Steelers have already got the right guy.
To me, if Russ is healthy, I'm sticking with Justin.
That was my next question.
I said it last week. I wouldn't. I think that he has earned and deserves the right to stay there.
Okay. So now he's got the vote of Ben Roethlisberger, for whatever that's worth, on the Footballin' podcast. And he does spell it with a ballin', footballin'. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Speaking of footballs, you may remember, we talked about this on Sunday night, where the trip to Denver with Russell Wilson, even though he wasn't playing, resulted in this, what, they probably had a video. They honored Russ. Are you kidding me? Talk about a waste of time, and no doubt something that Russ did not want. Just, ew. He was there for two seasons. And it was, yeah. It was an ending that was orchestrated by Sean Payton after they did him dirty. And I absolutely agree with that. The Broncos treated him from the very beginning as though they didn't want him and they were just stuck with him. Well, Sean Payton's tenure did. And so I think it's ridiculous. It's so disingenuous that they would do some kind of a video or a ceremony to honor him. But they did. And then a petty game ball. because, you know, Russ deserved it. The Steelers got the win.
You know, none of your businesses, respectfully. There's certain things that go on among teams that I don't talk about. Whether it gets out or how it gets out is unimportant to me, and I'm not overly guarded against it. But it's just certain things as a leader that I talk to the collective about that I have zero intentions of sharing with the larger public. You know, I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog. You might not like it.
Okay, so about the petty game ball then, it got out. It wasn't supposed to get out. We heard Justin Fields talking about it on Sunday. I love how he calls his team and his locker room the collective. He does that a lot. But Mike Tomlin is saying essentially, okay, I'm acknowledging it's out there. It's something we've done before.
None of your businesses.
Also, he kind of stops halfway through that. None of your businesses. And then he pauses and thinks, well, you know what? Maybe I'll try a different tack.
Respectfully. There's certain things that go on among teams that I don't talk about. Whether it gets out or how it gets out is unimportant to me, and I'm not overly guarded against it. But it's just certain things as a leader that I talk to the collective about that I have zero intentions of sharing with the larger public. You know, I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog. You might not like it.
All right. It's going to add to our collection of Mike Tomlinisms. I can't give you all the ingredients to a hot dog. You might not like it. This is why I don't eat hot dogs, because I do not know what the ingredients are. That's it.
You know, I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog. You might not like it.
Even with beef hot dogs, and that's really the only kind I would ever even consider, but it's been a few years since I've had one. That's the reason I cannot eat hot dogs, because I do not know what's in them. And I've also heard awful stories about how they're made. So I agree with Mike Tomlin on that point. What a perfect metaphor. You don't want to know how the sausage is made. You don't want to know how the hot dog is made. You might not eat it after that.
How about turkey hot dogs?
But I don't know what that, how that applies or what that means when it comes to the petty game ball. Maybe meaning what happens with the team behind closed doors, you may not like it. It may not be for mixed company, if you will, for polite company, if you will. So we're going to keep it with the collective, which, again, to me sounds like a cult. It's the collective cult.
Stable.
All right. Mike Tomlin always providing us with mirth. Micah Parsons reacting to the Dallas Cowboys disaster against the Saints, which, by the way, is just finished re-airing on NFL Network. And Jerry Jones weighing in as well about the Cowboys in this season in which they are all in. It's good stuff. If we have time while we're talking Texas.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Jose Altuve got ejected for removing his shoes and socks. It's because nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see an athlete's shoes and socks come off. Nope, nope, nope. Put those back on. I once had an entire discussion with producer Jay about how it was inappropriate to take off your shoes and socks at work and walk around with no shoes or socks on.
But who does that?
Well, he said, and actually it wasn't him. It was someone who used to work behind the double pane glass. Oh. I believe now he only is here on a part-time basis, but he would remove his footwear and would be hanging out back there with no shoes or socks on.
Oh.
But with an athlete, it's worse. Their feet must sweat. No.
They like probably a locker room.
Yeah, no, thank you. So, how's it, Jose Altuve? I absolutely think you deserve to be ejected for that, especially if it's an indoor stadium. Oh no, they were in San Diego. Never mind, they weren't at Minute Maid Park. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
First and goal at the 7. Hand off Kamara, left side. Still on his feet, left side. He came out of the tunnel, and Alvin Kamara scores the touchdown. He went into the tunnel and popped out on the other side, left side of the end zone.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Just one of the 4 touchdowns for Alvin Kamara against the Dallas Cowboys. So Saints at AT&T Stadium over the weekend. It was one of the major surprises of week number 2. That's the call there on Saints Radio. Well, this was a 44-19 final, and the Saints were already up 35 points. Well, they had 35 points, I should say, at halftime, and really didn't have to do a whole lot in the second half because it was that out of hand. The Saints scored on their first 5 possessions, 5 touchdowns in 5 possessions, including the Rashid Shaheed 70-yarder. And Dallas had no answers on defense. And I know Dan Quinn has moved on to Washington, but Mike Zimmer is not a slouch. He's been around the league a long time. So what the heck? Well, Micah Parsons tried to answer that question on his podcast, The Edge.
My biggest takeaways from that game, 1, the effort was not there by all 11. It doesn't matter who plays well, who didn't play well. The effort by all 11 wasn't there. The basic fundamentals of the game of football was not there. And, you know, at the end of the day, you have a standard of who you are during training camp and throughout this process to get you ready for the season. We didn't uphold that standard. That wasn't the Dallas Cowboys that I saw or I knew that showed up last week. It was not the same team this week. Was it the preparation? What was it? I don't know, but I'm determined to get this thing right.
The effort wasn't there? In week number 2, in your home opener, the effort for all 11 wasn't there. I mean, it's clear that they were not all on the same page. It's clear that there was a major disconnect. But how in the world do you not bring maximum 150% effort in your home opener? You can't possibly get complacent after 1 victory on the road to start the season. I'm blown away by that. Now, I mean, he's maybe not giving excuses, but he's giving the reason. We were taken out behind the woodshed because the effort wasn't there for all 11. Now, he is committed to getting it right. I appreciate that. I listened to a bunch of the podcast myself. And I know that he's trying to set the tone. He's trying to be more of a vocal leader. They want to rely on him, and he's taking ownership, which is great. But I am stunned to hear that. Week 2, your home opener. You've done a whole lot of nothing, as in nothing, this season. Supposed to be all in. That's the credo, if you will. That's the theme from your owner and your general manager. And yet you get blown out by the Saints because the effort wasn't there. Oh. Jerry Jones is a weekly guest on our Dallas affiliate, 105.3 The Fan with Sean and RJ. And he was talking about the burden on the Cowboys right now.
If we've got anything that albatross around our neck.
Albatross.
Is that we've been a good to very good team during the season over the last 4 or 5 years with Mike. And we haven't done well in the playoffs. So let's trade some challenges during the season for doing well in the playoff, if you want to look at it that way.
Interesting. Really interesting. I'm pretty sure he said albatross. Well, no, it is albatross. He said arbitross.
Arbitross around our neck.
That sounds like me. I'm the one who makes up words or uses words with, or maybe off by a couple of syllables because I've got so many words in my head. Arbitross.
Albatross around our neck.
The poor albatross. It's a bird. It's actually a grand bird, but apparently Jerry's not familiar. I guess they don't have albatrosses. They don't have albatross.
Albatross around our neck.
That's terrific. I was at the Dallas Cowboys headquarters, the Star, if you will, when I was there the weekend before last for a wedding and met some friends to eat at the Star. And it's really amazing. He spared no expense in not only putting together a world-class practice facility, but there's a turf field out in front where people were working out on it. The streets are clean and wide open and people can walk all around. And then you've got different spots where they honor those who are members of the Ring of Fame. The Ring of Honor Hall of Fame. And so Troy Aikman and Tom Landry and Emmitt Smith and Roger Staubach. And so we really enjoyed seeing all of those different spots, larger than life, of course. And they've got photos and they've got banners and you've got the two roads that intersect at the entrance. One's called the Star and one's called Winning. And so he's a guy who sinks a whole lot of money into his team and certainly has the right to raise the expectations and not want to be spinning wheels. And he points out, hey, we've been great to good to great, right? So we've kind of been elite. Well, not elite. We've been better than average to good. That's kind of where we've been. And if we're going to do that, but follow it up with a massive dud in the postseason, well, then maybe let's try something different. It's a little bit like dating, right? You date the same kind of person over and over and over again. It always ends the same way over and over and over again. So maybe try something different. Maybe try finding people in a different place if it's not working for you. Or as I was just using this phrase a couple of days ago, and I don't even know if it's accurate, but the definition of insanity, the, shall we call it the street definition of insanity, is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. So, okay, if you're the Dallas Cowboys, let's not repeat the cycle of insanity. He says, why don't we then face adversity during the regular season more so? Maybe have some of these struggles during the regular season so that it prepares us. I think in theory, it can be plausible. So that it prepares us for what's to come in the postseason. But I'm sorry, I got stuck on albatross.
Arbitross.
An arbitrary albatross.
Arbitross around our neck.
On 105.3, The Fan, our Dallas affiliate. All right, coming up, your chance to ask Amy anything. Producer Pete, second time through solo. You can send in your last couple questions before we gotta hit it hard. We got to make sure we answer as many as we possibly can. Thanks for hanging out with us on The Hump Show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Arbitross.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, Amy, well, it seemed inevitable considering the recent past, but the Dolphins made it official. They put Tua Tagovailoa on injured reserve, meaning he's out at least 4 weeks. Now, Tua remains in concussion protocol, as Miami will now turn to Skylar Thompson to be their starter, with newly signed Tyler Huntley coming off the Ravens practice squad to be the backup, as Mike McDaniel made it clear they're going with Thompson.
I was happy adding you know, what we were able to do in the quarterback room and adding Boyle. But, you know, I think this is more directly to back up Skyler.
Meanwhile, the Steelers remain in the hands of Justin Fields for Sunday against the Chargers. Mike Tomlin made it clear Russell Wilson still not healthy, which means there can't be a conversation regarding him regaining his starting job.
But as I sit here today, he is not scheduled to be a full participant tomorrow in practice. And so we're readying ourselves around Justin, and we'll stay in that mindset until something else happens. Hypotheticals is a waste of our time.
Elsewhere, the Chiefs have brought back running back Kareem Hunt to their practice squad. This after Isaiah Pacheco was placed on IR. Baseball, the Brewers had themselves a chance to clinch the Central, but Bryce Harper put the party on hold.
And the right-hander deals. And the pitch hit high in the air, deep left center field. Mitchell going over to the track, nearing the wall. He's out of room. It's into the Brewer bullpen. And Bryce Harper with a two-run home run to give the Phillies the lead here in the sixth.
That was enough for Zach Wheeler, fired seven strong with six Ks as the Phillies erased the Brewers 5-1. Call courtesy of the Phillies Radio Network. That's where the Twins handle the Guardians 4-1. Giants dominate the Orioles 10-0 as Blake Snell fanned 12 over six innings of one-hit ball. Rays too much for the Red Sox 8-3. Mets disposed of the Nationals 10-1. Pete Alonso went deep drove in 5. It was the Cardinals 3, Pirates 1. Reds came back on the Braves 6-5 as they rallied from 4 runs down. Spencer Steer, your go-ahead 2-run shot in the 7th. Yankees punished the Mariners 11-2. Juan Soto was 40th of the season. Astros survived the Padres 4-3 and 10. Marlins outscored the Dodgers 11-9 despite home run number 48 from Shohei Ohtani. Tigers outlasted the Royals 3-1 and 10. Rangers overpowered the Blue Jays 13-8. Rockies lit up the Diamondbacks 8-2, A's up at the Cubs 4-3, and the Angels blanked the White Sox 5-0. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
Producer Pete's second chance, solo, asking the questions for Ask Amy Anything. And I have not questioned him about his methods. I just am believing that he's going to put his own stamp on this. So we will dive in. I know we've had a lot of questions because we posted it earlier on Tuesday afternoon, and that gives you all more time. There's a lot that have come in. So this is all you, Pete.
All right, let's kick it off on X with Matthew, who asks, when is it too early for stores to put out Christmas items?
Oh, my gosh. Now is too early, and yet I did see some Christmas stuff on Tuesday morning at the store. So I would say too early is pre-Halloween. And honestly, I wouldn't even do it before mid-November, but I guess you're missing out on people who are desperate to decorate right after Thanksgiving or even before Thanksgiving. It's just, it's not me. I wait until early December, but I think I have to compromise now that there's another human in the house because he loves Christmas and wants us to decorate every room.
TJ on X asks, what are your favorite books to read?
That's a good question. My favorite books are generally murder mysteries and more Victorian period murder mysteries. So Ann Perry, she's terrific. I also love Jane Austen type literature. So not just her books, of course, but there's a whole genre of Jane Austen mysteries or Jane Austen books out there that are written by people who either have been given permission by her estate to write books or are modeling the style of the time when she was writing. So that I love. I'm also big into spy novels. So if you know Alex Berenson, he's got a whole series of spy novels with one particular character, John Wells, at the center. Jack Carr is a former Navy SEAL who now writes, they are kind of spy novels, but they're based on his one particular character who was a former Navy SEAL himself. I'm big into that kind of stuff.
Reggie on Facebook wants to know, Texas brisket or New England lobster?
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm a New England girl, so seafood is my first love. And lobster's not actually my favorite seafood, but it's delicious when it's done right. So I'll go with New England lobster. And New England clam chowder, of course.
You know, I'm not a big seafood person, but
it's
would.
Too bad. You're missing out.
That's where I would start, probably. let's go. Teresa on Facebook wants to know, would you ever climb Mount Everest?
No. Are you kidding me? Number one, it's dangerous. Number two, you can have long-term health issues or die. Number three, do you know how expensive it is? It is extremely expensive.
Really?
And yes, it thousands and thousands of dollars to put your life at risk. But also, it's so crowded now. I'm not sure if you've seen these documentaries or read the stories about the number of people that are going, because it's a very short climbing season where you get the best conditions. I think it's in May usually, though you can always have snowstorms, whiteout conditions. It's always dangerous. It's always risking your life. But it's so crowded that there's no guarantee you're even going to get to the top, because there are lines of people waiting to get to the top during the nice days where the climbs are possible. Oh. But yeah, the danger quotient, because of the number of people on the mountain, it's unstable a lot of the times. I mean, I've even read stories about how people are climbing past dead bodies that are just left there. So no, absolutely not.
Yeah, I'll watch someone else do it. Maybe they can put it on television.
Oh my gosh.
Marsha on X, favorite day of the week and why?
Well, my favorite day is Saturday because it's essentially my Sabbath. It's the only day where I don't have to work. So work into Friday, have to sleep on Friday. Sunday is a work day to get ready to come back. And now Sunday is a really long work day with NFL. So Saturday is my favorite day. I feel like a normal human right side up.
All right. Chris on X wants to know, how long do you see yourself staying on the radio graveyard shift?
Ah, good question. Well, if I had my way, it would be another 3 months and I would be done with it. But I don't know that that's going to happen. Yeah, it's been almost 12 years of working overnights. But even before I was here at what was previously called CBS Sports Radio, I worked late nights a lot of times at my last network. And I am a night owl, but overnights is a different animal. And it's not about paying my dues. I've had the chance to leave before now and I wasn't ready. Now I think I'm ready, but it also depends on opportunity. There's no way I can say definitively I'm not going to quit if I don't have another job lined up. I'm not going to walk away from my radio career. I would continue doing overnights in that regard, but I've already told the bosses here that I would like to consider or investigate a change. So if I had my way, it would be another few months and that would be it. But we don't always get our way, right? So we'll see how it works out.
Always an honest answer. Chuck
always.
On X wants to know, have you run into any famous athletes at your Walmart?
No, I've never run into anyone famous at Walmart. No.
Or anywhere else in public.
Have I run into anyone famous?
Yes.
Well, when you're at the Super Bowl sites, there's a lot of famous people. Like, for instance, the new show on CBS called Tracker. Justin Hartley is the main actor. He was also on This Is Us. He was wandering around, right? So you do run into a lot of famous people when you're at Super Bowls because it attracts not just athletes, but it also attracts actors and other people who are hawking products. So yeah, that's usually the place where it happens.
Okay, on Facebook, Michael wants to know.
Not at Walmart.
What song did you and Bob dance to for the first time as husband and wife?
Oh, that's such a nice question. Thank you. Our first dance, and actually we didn't practice. It was one of the things that slipped through the cracks doing long distance. And so I was a little mortified that we got out there and never practiced. But Frank Sinatra's The Way You Look Tonight was our song.
It's class.
Want to hear something sweet, though? Because we didn't feel like it. Well, I didn't feel like it went well. I don't know. I can't speak for Bob. But it was a song that was played at one of the weddings we went to this summer. And as soon as it came on, he grabbed me and said, okay, this is our opportunity to finish our dance or to have our dance. So we did. And it was a lot less pressure when it wasn't the entire group of people staring at you. So, yeah, when it's not your wedding, it's a lot more fun, actually.
Bob has all the right moves, I'll tell you that much. All right. More on Bob.
More on Bob.
From John on Facebook, he wants to know, do you call your husband Bob sometimes at home?
I don't. I don't even call him by his name. I call him all kinds of pet names. Oh, okay. Like we do with dogs or cats. I very rarely called Penny by her name Penny. I always had about a dozen different nicknames for her, and I have many nicknames for Bob, but Bob is not one of them.
Carlos wants to know on Facebook, what is your favorite sporting event you ever witnessed live?
Oh, gosh. Well, I was at the Super Bowl where the Patriots rallied past the Falcons in overtime. That was pretty incredible. But my favorite one of all time actually came in that same arena, and it was the Final Four with Villanova hitting the last second shot.
Oh.
Chris Jenkins nailing the buzzer beater. And I've said this before, I was sitting right off the corner of the court. So it's an elevated court in these major football stadiums. And I was maybe 50 yards back off the corner. As he shot the ball from the wing, it was coming right at me. So I knew it was online. I just didn't know if it was the right length and the right trajectory. But it was crazy. The entire arena went silent for what felt like 5 seconds. It wasn't quite that long. But yeah, that ball went through the hoop, and I've never heard noise like that in my entire life. The place went crazy. It was awesome.
I can imagine it being there live. Just watching it on television was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
One more here from, let's go to Jamie on Facebook. How is the backyard construction going?
Oh my gosh, it's a pit. I don't know why a 10 by 8 room requires that you dig up half of our yard, but they came on Monday and put the rebar in. So I think the next step is to fill it with the gravel and then pour the concrete for the foundation. That's supposed to be happening on Thursday.
All right. I think we do have time for one more.
Okay.
More about your personal life. How was the golf game with Bob on Friday?
Oh, no. This is a terrible story, actually. I'll try to tell it quickly. Number one, I didn't even think about it because it's a public course, and it was supposed to be a short holes, you know, 9 holes on a Friday. They wouldn't let us go because he didn't have a collared shirt. Are you kidding me?
No.
Snooty little golf course wouldn't even let us go because he didn't have a collared shirt. And I never thought about that because, again, it's a public course. It's a Friday afternoon. You're talking about short holes. And, yeah, we got turned away. We got rejected. So instead we went to the driving range. We really enjoyed that. We went to another golf course and a driving range and found out how we can get there to golf because it's also a public place and a nice course. So, yeah, we're taking our business elsewhere. Snooty, elitist. Sometimes golf really can't get out of its own way. Thank you for your questions. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.